So today we get one of those opportunities. We have Mr. Peter Wigg joining us. And Peter is a missionary over in India. And we also support his brother Paul, who I know many of you know and have heard over the years too. Peter and his wife have a ministry called Shining Stars, where they have the awesome privilege and challenge of discipling children, basically to become the up-and-coming leaders over in India, to basically raise up children by taking them under their wings, after-school programs and other activities to help train and disciple them to follow Jesus, teach them who Jesus is, and get to impact the next generation in India. So if you guys can welcome up Peter with me to share.
It's really great to be here. For those of you who don't know me, I went to ABI way back in the late 70s and early 80s. In fact, Mr. Arno, this morning, first thing he did when he saw me is he patted his Bible and he said, "I'm going to be checking that you're on track today." And I said, "If I'm not, I'll just remind you where I went to Bible college." All right, I think I'll just give you a quick update. Mercy and I and the family have been here in the States for the last 2 years, actually. I'm not sure if they're going to get the slides up or just leave me hanging. But our older son and his wife got married just 3 years ago, and they've been living in Orlando. And so our middle son started college. He finished high school, so we decided to come here, get him settled. And our younger son, we felt he would do better to finish high school here. So if we go to the next slide, Caleb, who is on the very right of the picture that will come up momentarily, he just finished high school in May and is now going to, he's actually at boot camp in Great Lakes in Chicago. The one on the right, the skinny guy that's taller than all of us now. And Stephen is on the very left, and Josiah in the middle with his wife, Simona. And so that's what we've been doing last couple of years. I've been back last year and this year to visit the family. And ministry, Shining Stars in India. And they're doing pretty well. We return in just about 4 weeks. In fact, as I was thinking this morning, we have a Sunday here in Homer. Next Sunday we'll be in Chinook, Montana. The following in St. Louis, and the next one in Orlando. So we've got a bit of traveling to do over the next month before we leave, so we'd appreciate your prayers for that. If you go to the next slide, these are our centers. There's actually a map that's going to come up when he pushes a button a couple of times. And presently, Shining Stars is working in 4 states of India, and we're partnering to run 20 children's centers that Matt briefly mentioned. And we've been doing it for about 23 years. And we are just thankful for the fruit that God has brought through that ministry. Renuka, one of our young ladies who grew up for a few years in our center, one of our centers, is now married, has 2 children, and is running a center of her own out of her own home. And serving the Lord in that way. She has 2 children, married to a Christian man. 2 of our youngsters, who were about 5th or 6th grade when we first met them, are now on the board of Shining Stars. So the little guys that we were discipling, now we report to, which is a privilege. Before I pray and start, I'll just tell you a little joke. There was this pastor who didn't feel like going to church one Sunday, so he decided to go golfing. So he called in sick and went out and was golfing on Sunday morning secretly. And he happened to get a hole-in-one that morning. And after he got the hole-in-one, he was just so proud of himself. Then he heard God looking down and kind of chuckling and said, "So, who are you going to tell?" By the way, where is Pastor Dave anyway this morning? Fishing. Okay. All right. Well, I'll just pray and begin, if that's all right. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being here. Thank you so much for these brothers and sisters and for this church that stands behind us. Lord, we do it together for your glory. And we pray that you'll speak to all of us through your word this morning. Lord, it's your word, and I pray that you will use it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled, I think you can go to the, it's going to take a few clicks to get to the next slide. I've entitled the message, Straining Toward the Goal, this morning. And the passage is Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 21. We all have goals that we're striving for, I assume. Financial goals or personal goals, reading books, studying the Bible. Maybe academic goals, where I want to go to college, what I would like to become when I grow up. And we're all straining towards some kind of a goal or goals in our lives, personal, professional, academic, financial, etc. Well, in the passage we're going to read, Paul talks about straining toward the goal. And the context of this of Philippians is to the Paul writes it to the Philippian church, of course, which he established 11 years earlier on his second missionary journey. And he's writing from his house arrest in Rome, and that's where we're reading from today. So let's read Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 21. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Yes, amen. So first, let us just clarify what is the goal that Paul is straining for. Not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. What is Paul wanting to make his own? If we look back in verses 8 and 10, just up in the same chapter, in verse 8 it says, sorry, the light isn't that great up here. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. And then in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, etc. So Paul's ultimate goal in life is to know Christ and to make him his own. That is his first and foremost goal. That is what Paul is straining for. That is what everything that he is, his ultimate goal is to know Christ and then to make him known. If you go to the next slide, I found a quote of from a devotional I was reading of Charles Spurgeon, and this is what he, the 3 points I'm going to make. We need to forget what is behind as we strain toward the goal, imitate those who are good examples, and remember that our citizenship is in heaven, that these things will enable us to strain forward to what lies ahead and to knowing Christ and making him our own. Let me read this quote that should be on the next slide of Charles Spurgeon. Spiritual knowledge, okay, so this is Christ, knowing Christ. Spiritual knowledge of Christ will be a personal knowledge. I cannot know Jesus through another person's acquaintance with him. It will be an intelligent knowledge. As the Word reveals him, his nature, attributes, works, shame, glory. Comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. It will be an affectionate knowledge of him. An ounce of heart knowledge is worth a ton of head knowledge. A satisfying knowledge. I shall feel that I have that which my spirit panted after. The more I know of my beloved, the more I shall want to know. Like the miser's treasure, my gold will make me covet more. A most happy one. Come, my soul, sit at Jesus' feet and learn of him all this day. So that's what we're after. How many of you have that kind of a knowledge of Christ? I've got all that. Definitely not, but this is what we are aiming for. This is what we are striving. This is what Paul was striving for. And he's writing to hit the Philippians to strive after the same thing. So the first thing that Paul says is that, not that I've already obtained this or I'm perfect, but I strain on. If he was perfect, he would already have been there and he wouldn't need to strive, would he? If we ever think that we've made it, that we have all that we need of Christ, then we're in trouble. Paul was far from perfect, although if you look at verse 6 above, or 5, I think it is, verse 4, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness, under the law, blameless. Paul was as accomplished as anybody that he was writing to, of anybody of his day, probably. But he was very clear. In Romans 7, some of you remember, he says, I want to do so-and-so, but I can't do it. The things I want to do, I can't do. The things I can't do, I want to do. Paul was very clear that he wasn't perfect. He still needed to grow. In 2 Corinthians 12, he talks about the thorn in his flesh. He's weak. He knows he's weak, and he asks God to take away this weakness. 3 times, but God said, nope, not going to take it away. Because if you're strong in yourself, then you won't depend on me. We could say that we're perfect, but we're not perfect. We're perfect because Christ has died, and if we put our faith in him, he's made us perfect by the blood of the Lamb. But we're not perfect because being like Christ is a lifelong process, isn't it? I don't know if we have any tennis fans in here. Does anybody like to watch tennis? The U.S. Open's going. No? Oh, well. All right, Sheldon, we'll talk afterwards. Rafa Nadal, I'm a Rafa Nadal fan, and he's one of the best players of all time, and his coach would say that he didn't only want to improve Rafa's technique, but his character. He really emphasized character. respecting your opponent, not thinking too highly of yourself, staying humble, etc. He also emphasized no excuses. You know, one time Rafa complained to his coach. He said, "It's too hot out here on the court." And his coach said, "Do you think it's hot on the other side of the court too, the other opponent?" Rafa, has always learned to take personal responsibility. One time he was playing and he was having a bad game, and he just blamed himself and just, you know, wouldn't blame it on anything else. And he later found out that his tennis racket was broken. But he took personal responsibility for his for all of his playing. He just won the French Open a couple of months ago for the 12th time. And, people were interviewing him and saying, "So how does it feel to win again and again and again?" He said, "Well, you know, I've won that, but now it's time to move on." He doesn't live in the past. He's had some terrible failure, you know, losses and some great successes, but he doesn't live back there. He moves on to get better and better and better. His coaches help him to grow and to learn every day, every time he plays. So our Christian life should be the same. We should always be straining toward that goal, to get to know Christ better and better. I'm using the ESV. I press on to make it my own. Another version says to lay hold of. Another version says to apprehend, to make it my own. It's kind of to take eagerly. It's strong language. It's not something casual. We need to work at it hard. Kind of like a football player taking a defender, taking a runner down, pulling him down. He's not going to just kind of say, "Oh, come on, fall down." He's going to grab him and do all that he can to apprehend him. So in order to know Christ, to make Christ our own, we need to go after it. We need to lay hold. We need to work hard and strain forward. Salvation is free, but the Christian life isn't free, is it? Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you need to daily take up your cross and follow me. Last night we were staying over at the Gordons. We've had a wonderful time there. Their hospitality is phenomenal. And last night we watched The Pilgrim's Progress, the latest version. And I encourage you all to watch it. It's from Revelation Media or something. But I was just reminded of how, you know, Christian had to keep working and go through tests and trials in order to make it to the celestial city. And talking about laying hold, to apprehend. You know, the Gordons have known Christ for many, many, many years, but they're still working at getting to know Christ. They've been a good example. I see them every day reading and praying together and praying for others. They're still apprehending Christ to make him their own. As Christ made us his own. It wasn't, what did Christ give up to make us his own? He gave up his life, didn't he? And we need to follow that example. And so my point from verse 13, "Brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." Paul could have probably ridden on his successes. He was very successful. He had it all as a Pharisee, as a Benjamin, as a circumcised, priest, Pharisee. And yet he said, I leave those successes behind because I'm not defined by what happened in the past. I'm defined by knowing Christ today. Paul also had a pretty bad history, didn't he, with persecuting the church, being there at the stoning of Stephen. You know, I wonder if Paul looked back sometimes and was tempted to dwell on the past, his successes, or maybe his failures. "Look at what I've done. How can God use me?" But he said, "No, one thing I do, leaving what is behind and straining forward." I have a hard time, personally, forgetting my past sometimes. I've had lots of failures, sins, things that sometimes it's hard for me to shake. Probably some of you have those. Maybe not, maybe there are a few of you that don't. But I have a hard time shaking my past at times. And one of the meanings here for forgetting is to neglect. Now, for me, this really blew me away, this word. Because, I have some things that really have dragged me down. It says, neglect the things that are in the past. Forget them. I think sometimes we think that we can right our wrongs ourselves, you know? If I keep thinking over it or trying to do something to cover my past, it's going to be fixed. Well, the only way it's going to be fixed is through Christ, and he's already done that. So we need to neglect, forget the things of the past, and keep straining forward to the things that are ahead. C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters talks about living in the present. You know, the past, we can't do anything about the past now, can we? The things of the past are gone, they're history. C.S. Lewis says that we need to focus on the truth. And the only things that are really true is the present as it touches eternity, knowing Christ and believing the promises for eternity. The future, except for our place in heaven, we don't know the future, do we? And if we focus on the future, what do we get? We either get anxiety or false hope. What am I going to do in my retirement? Will I have enough money? What's going to happen tomorrow? Is my job going to last, et cetera, et cetera? We don't know what's going to happen in the future. And so that's foolishness. And in Philippians 4:8, it says, whatsoever things are true, honest, good report, etc., etc., dwell on these things. What is true? Right now, we are here worshiping Christ, and we're striving, hopefully, to know him better and better. And our future in heaven is sure, but nothing else in the future is actually sure. So don't dwell on those things. Forget what is past. Don't dwell on the future, but dwell on what is true today as it touches eternity. And then the last verse or two says, let us who are mature think in this way, and if anything you think otherwise, verse 16, God will reveal that also to you. But only let us hold true to what we have attained. So keep straining forward. If you've grown to this level of maturity, don't slide back, but keep straining forward to know Christ more and more. The second point is let me ask you then, is there anything holding you back in your past? You might think of your successes and be dwelling on those. Oh, look at what I did. Well, God has done whatever he has done through us. And our past failures and successes do not define our future or who we are in Christ, but it's Christ who defines who we are. So don't let the past drag you down or even lift you up, but focus on Christ today and the hope we have in him and knowing him. Secondly, verses 17 and 18, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you with tears, walk as enemies of the cross. Imitate those who are good examples. Is this egotistical of Paul to say that? Imitate me. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. So only as I follow Christ, follow me, follow my example. That's not egotistical, but it's something that we should all be striving for, is to be imitatable, one, and to find those that we can learn from and grow from. Going back to tennis, there's another player named Kyrgios, who is kind of a very talented young player that has beaten all the best players. And yet he's a lot different than Rafa. He's kind of arrogant, always, you know, usually loses his temper on the court. He doesn't even have a coach, so he thinks he can kind of do it on his own. And, you know, I've seen him interviewed, and he doesn't seem to have much drive. He's talented, but he's not really growing and improving like he could. And he doesn't have a coach. He's not learning from others who have gone before. Rafa's humble enough to know he needs a coach, even though he's a better player than Kyrgios. But Kyrgios, if he wanted to strain forward and be better, he could be, but he doesn't seem to have that drive. So Paul here encourages us to imitate those who have gone ahead. I've got people who I have learned much from through my life, who I strive to imitate and learn from. My parents, some of you have known them, but they were a great example to me in India growing up. They really loved the people individually, and I think that's what drew me and my siblings back to India, was the example that my parents left. My director in Campus Crusade, Dan Pryor, was a great example to me, a good friend. He kept me accountable, prayed with me, kept me going, and I learned a lot from him. Our founding member of Shining Stars in India, Mr. PKD Lee, has also been an incredible example to me, and one who I strive to follow. So, do you have a life that's worth following? Could you say to another, follow me as I follow Christ? Follow my example, follow some of the disciplines that I have in my life, and you'll move closer to knowing Christ in an intimate way. And let us, if we haven't, let us intentionally seek those out that we can learn from, those who are examples who we can learn from. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses that it talks about in verse 11, Samson and Moses and Abraham and all of these great men and women of faith, learn from them, but fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And Paul contrasts himself, follow me as I follow Christ, with those in verses 18 and 19. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. So Paul contrasts one whose mind is set on heavenly things, who's straining after Christ, with those whose minds are set on earthly things. Their characteristics, their belly, God is their belly, they glory in their shame, and their end is destruction. Their telos, that's a word in that I learned recently, their telos, their end will be destruction, hell, for those who have their God as their belly and who have their mind set on earthly things. So the first point was, forget what is behind as we strain toward knowing Christ. Find people that you can imitate, grow from. Iron sharpens iron. And be one who is imitatable, so you can ask others to follow you as you follow Christ. And finally, verse 20, but our citizenship, okay, so the men he talks about in verse 19, their minds are set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So as we're straining toward knowing Christ, remember that our end, our telos is not here on this world, but we have our citizenship in heaven. Keep your mind on the celestial city, on heaven that is promised to us. Most of the Philippians that Paul wrote to had Roman citizenship. That was a very valuable possession to have. Many of them paid a lot of money for it. Then, if you look up in verse 3, And in other parts of Paul's writings, he was a Roman citizen, and he had all the accomplishments, but he said, I count all of these things as rubbish compared to knowing Christ. The last 2 years have been quite difficult for me, frankly. I think Mercy's done better here in America this time than I have. When we first came, we, you know, kind of anticipated having some time as a family, and it was great. Thought, okay, it'll be a change of pace and a time to refresh and be with family. And after a few months of being here, I was longing to get back to India. Thought, man, I want to get back. I was feeling like a fish out of water with my feet in two worlds, and I was anxious to get back to India. I just wanted to get out of here. But, you know, the Lord reminded me that my home ultimately is not India. My home ultimately is not America. But my citizenship is in heaven. And I think if we get too comfortable here on this earth, that's dangerous. We have to be very careful to remember that this is not our telos. This is not our end. But heaven is. And I'll close up here in just a few minutes. The hope we have, verse 21, the second part of 20, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. As I get a little older, I look forward to having a new body one day. How many can attest to that? All right. You know, God promises that we will one day in heaven have a new body and we'll be with him for eternity. There'll be no sorrow, no shame, no crying, no tears. Let's keep our mind set on heaven. In a broader sense, the body of Christ, God is also transforming us day by day. Not just our physical bodies, but the body of Christ. And I'm sure we all look forward to that. I'm sure we all have conflicts, and we look forward to us being perfect and others being perfect around us. Well, God promises that he is doing that. So as we strain toward the goal, let us leave the things that are dragging us down. Leave forgetting the past, neglecting that stuff. Just forget it. Can't do anything about it. Straining forward to know Christ and to make him our own. And secondly, we find people that we can imitate and grow from while we're here. As we read books, we can learn from the global body of Christ and local people that we can sharpen one another. And thirdly, remember that our citizenship is in heaven. This is not our end. Let's keep our eyes focused on that. I'll close with just something I was introduced to recently, an ancient Greek letter to Diognetus, and I'm not sure, it's probably too small for you to see, I'm sorry about that, but I'll go ahead and read that. And this helps us as Christians to focus on our true perspective and hope, okay? Not here, but our telos, which is in heaven, our end. Christians are indistinguishable from other men, either by nationality, language, or customs. And yet there is something extraordinary about their lives. They play their full role as citizens, but labor under all the disabilities of aliens. We're really aliens here on earth. Any country can be their homeland. They pass their days upon earth, but they are citizens of heaven. Obedient to the laws, they yet live on a level that transcends the law of love, right? As the soul is present in every part of the body while remaining distinct from it, so Christians are found in all the cities of the world but cannot be identified with the world. Christians love those who hate them. Christians also live for a time amidst perishable things while awaiting the freedom from change and decay that will be theirs in heaven. If you want to look that up, it's on, you can Google it, and that this is only excerpts from it, but the whole thing, it's excellent. So as we strain toward the goal of making Christ our own, forget what is behind. The successes are there, thank God for them. Our failures are there, neglect, forget them, can't do anything about it. What can I do today to know Christ better and to make him my own? Secondly, imitate those who are good examples, who those around you or those that we can learn from their lives, who have known Christ, and learn from them. And make your life an example to others. And finally, remember, as you get discouraged and straining forward to make Christ your own, remember that your citizenship is in heaven, and we're not going to be here forever, so do all you can today to make Christ our own. We're aliens here. We're just passing through. So thank you very much, and God bless you, and look forward to talking with you afterwards. We've got a few brochures out in the back, and if you'd like to receive our newsletters, you could give us your name and contact information. Thank you.